Well, I want to bridge a little bit from last week, and this sermon time's going to be a little bit different than we usually do. I'm going to give a couple thoughts, bridging us and land a foundation, then Tim and Chris are going to share a little bit from their journey, then I'm going to share a couple more thoughts, and they're going to share a couple more thoughts. So we're going to kind of tag team this morning with Tim and Krista. But last week, we were talking about this idea of being aware, acknowledging, and bringing to God all the different emotions that we experience. And often it's easier for us to bring our happy, thankful emotions to God, which is also very important, than it is to bring our more negative emotions, even for us to acknowledge kind of some of those negative emotions. And we did those four questions. Hopefully you got a chance to reflect on them at some point this week. Again, what are you mad about? What are you sad about? What are you happy about? What are you worried about? And even just sitting with those feelings and acknowledging that is a way that kind of tunes us in to a part of us that we often don't want to acknowledge, or is kind of can be scary or uncomfortable, and that we often keep away. And part of living in open relationship with God and each other is being aware, acknowledging, and finding healthy ways to open up all the different emotions that we are feeling. And I encourage you to look at that, exploring the iceberg again in the emotionally healthy relationships. Some really great stuff in there. We used Psalm 56 last week to help us think about how we bring our emotions to God. And the gift of the Psalms that gives us a vehicle, that gives us words, and that assures us that it is not only okay, but very good and very right to bring all of ourselves to God, as David did in many of those Psalms and others as well. But to bring it to God, of course, we have to acknowledge it first. Otherwise, we can't bring it to God. And to remember that God is with us, not only in the happy and positive feelings, but also he wants to be with us in the more negative or feelings that make us more uncomfortable. And he wants to be with us not just to get us back to happy, but because in experiencing those deeper, often we say more negative emotions, we experience a side of God. And God knows us in a way that we can't if we only experience God when we're happy. And the same is true for our experience with each other. And that's where we kind of want to move a little bit this morning. Krista read those verses from Galatians chapter 5 and 6, which starts with the fruit of the Spirit that we could all remember from quoting many times, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those all allow us, with the posture of that life of the Spirit, it allows us to walk with each other through all of the different circumstances of our lives. Because if we can only walk with each other when we're happy or feeling good, then we acknowledge that that relationship can be a fun relationship, but there's a whole depth of ourselves that is not a part of that relationship. The same thing with God. If we can only relate to God when we're happy, then there's a whole part of ourselves that God is not a part of. And the same with our relationship with each other. If we can only relate to each other when we're happy, then that part of ourselves that we all have, as we said last week, of being sad and mad or worried, that part of it is not a part of that relationship. And so part of having healthy and open relationships is being able to find healthy ways to allow other people, just like we allow God, into our journeys of grief and fear and sadness and worry, so that our relationships deepen and we're able to connect with each other in a way that brings our whole selves, so that our relationships don't just stay at one level, but they also go deeper. So that dynamic is with God and people. But today we want to think a little bit about that people part. How do we not only acknowledge our griefs, but allow other people in a way that we walk through those things together? I think that's part of what Paul is getting at in carry each other's burdens. That's right after that fruit of the Spirit in the next chapter. Galatians 6:2 has that great verse of carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a powerful statement. Carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So as followers of Jesus, we want to think about, what does that actually mean? How do we carry? How do we do that in very practical ways? And we're going to look in that a little bit. But the first step, of course, as we've said, to carrying each other's burdens is for us as individuals to acknowledge and be open in healthy and appropriate ways with all that we're experiencing. Because somebody else can't carry our burden if we don't even know we're carrying it, or if we don't even acknowledge that we're carrying a burden. And often these emotions of sadness, fear, worry, they feel like a burden, and in some ways they are. But sharing those parts of ourselves is a big, big risk. And it takes, if we're going to be able to enter into those places as a community, it takes people that are willing to take risks. And a community that's willing to hold the risk that people are taking in loving and supportive ways. That's how we build trust in relationships, right? We go a little deeper and we see, is this safe? Yes. They honored, there's support, there's love, there's care. All right, let's go a little deeper. Give a little more of ourselves. Is there love, support, care? And we know from our relationships that at any point that we feel not welcomed to share that part of ourselves, that we share a part of ourselves and it's kind of thrown away or it's kind of disregarded or it's degraded, that ends that journey of going deeper. Because none of us wants to be hurt and wounded, right? And so as a community, not only do we need to be willing to take risks, but we also need to be a people that are ready to hold other people's journeys well with love and support. And so we're going to practice that a little bit this morning in a very real way. And Tim and Krista, you guys can come up. They agreed to share a little bit about a grief that they've been carrying for a while. And this is such a gift for us and a huge risk. Thank you, guys. And as a community, we have this incredible opportunity to be let in to a piece of their journey. And as a community, we want to say, God, help us carry this well. God, help us to be your people. Help us to rally around support and love and care this morning and as we go forward more. So Tim and Krista, I'm going to turn it over to you to share a little bit about your journeys. Thank you.
So some of you already know what we're sharing. Some of you may have guessed or assumed, and others of you probably have never thought about it. But Tim and I have been on a journey of childlessness for the past 4 or 5 years. It's been a long and painful journey to walk. Sometimes we know and feel the love and nearness of Jesus as he carries us along this road. And other times we feel like God has left us behind on this lonely road. And we've become well acquainted with grief.
So Chris and I are going to kind of trade off and on here with our own individual experiences with grief. Some background to our experience. We began to try to have children maybe 4 or 5 years ago and began to notice this wasn't working, but still we're hopeful and we're planning out for the future. And about that time we were buying our home and bought a home larger than the one we were living in and thought, well, Lord, we'll see what happens here, and continued to not conceive and sought out some medical counsel and did some tests, met with some doctors, and the summary, it was basically, it's not impossible for you to conceive, but it's not very probable either. And we felt like we somewhat ran out of options as far as what we felt peace with, as far as naturally bringing children into the world. And so then we began to pursue some, I'll say, alternative medicine, just lifestyle changes, diet changes, things that we were hoping would help bring something out. And it's not that we didn't believe that God would do a miracle, that he was incapable, but we also just kind of approached it from a standpoint of God made our bodies, and if there's something we need to do to make ourselves healthier, to promote a environment for children, we wanted to try that. But that was a difficult season of just trying new things and trying more restrictive diets and just kind of going up and down with hope. And I think we did that for maybe a year and a half, and we were processing maybe 2 years ago around New Year's, just reflecting on the past year and looking at hopes for the next year. And I just, for myself, I just kind of reached a breaking point. Said, God, I can't keep carrying this. And it hurt because I didn't want to let go of that hope. And I felt like I was failing God. As if I could just have enough faith, have more faith, this would come to be. And I had to just kind of let, I'll describe it as holding a bird in your hands. And I just kind of had to let that go. And what makes that hard is I think we still see that bird. For a while it was there. I wasn't holding it, but it was there. And now as my younger siblings begin to have children, it's wonderful. That bird is beautiful. I'm so glad to be an uncle. But it still really hurts to see that bird fly so close to you and never to you. So that's, I'll let you step back in here. That's been my experience.
Yeah, for me, I have learned that grief is not a linear progression. It's mountains and valleys. It's climbing forward and falling backwards. Troy mentioned last week that his friend taught him to just take time to sit and be mad and to feel the feelings. And I have had to learn to do that. I don't generally think of myself as a very emotional person, and I don't like to feel the hard things. But my heart aches, and I can't ignore the pain that comes up with this unfulfilled desire. And time after time, the tears just come, whether I want them or not. And I'm learning to welcome the tears and welcome them rather than push them away. I may feel like I'm at peace with where we are or like I'm processing my grief well, but then something will trigger me and the pain comes right back. And the triggers in this stage of life are plentiful. Like Tim said, when many friends and family are welcoming their first child and we're still waiting. And then they have their second child and we're still waiting. And I go to baby shower after baby shower, still waiting and hoping for my own. We attend weddings and then just a year later welcome that child. And we're still waiting and longing and aching. And another Mother's Day comes and goes without being a mother. Another Father's Day comes and goes without being a father. We get Christmas cards of beautiful growing families while sending out our own of just the two of us. Pictures of babies and children fill my social media feeds. And I feel like I'm not able to relate to or join in the conversations that most of my peers are having. We feel left behind. We feel broken. We feel like we did something wrong or we're not good enough. And Tim and I have been learning to sit together in this pain and to slowly welcome others into that pain. Part of my grief has meant being very angry at God and blaming him for not answering our prayers the way we want them to be answered. I don't understand why this has been our experience, and it brings up all kinds of angry feelings. I don't know what God is doing in this. I don't know if we'll ever have biological children. I don't know if God will grow our family through adoption or if we'll never have children in our nuclear family. But despite the pain, I do know that my God is a God who redeems. And he carries the brokenhearted and restores them to wholeness, whether in this life or the next. I am confident that I know God better now because of this journey with childlessness and grief than I would know him if I didn't have to walk through this. I am entering into deeper trust and surrender to him, and because my life has not gone according to my own plans, I am more rooted in the reality that my life is not my own, but I am called to walk according to my Father's will, and he is a good father. He meets me in all my big emotions and enters them with me and feels the pain with me. At some point on this journey, I heard a definition of grief that has stuck with me and challenged me. And that is, grief is love that does not have a place to go. So as Tim and I have grown in our marriage, a love has grown in us that we expected and society expects to overflow into raising our own children. I love children, but I don't have that natural outlet of my own children to give that love to. And so instead of staying stuck in my grief and keeping that love bottled up to myself, I have had to look for other ways to share that love with the children who are in my life. And for this reason, I've taught Sunday school at Living Light and looked for ways to invest in the kids here. I've enjoyed playing with and loving on kids in extended family, and my work also has allowed me to invest in the lives of many kids. It's not always easy. It takes intentionality to look for these opportunities and to choose to enter into the pain that it brings up. We have also found that we are so much more aware of others' pain, especially as it relates to unmet expectations or unfulfilled desires. God has grown our compassion and empathy. So our culture has certain expectations for the natural progression of how one's life should go. Graduate high school, you go to college or get a job, get married, have kids, and watch the cycle repeat itself. But when life doesn't go that way, we often don't know how to handle it. And sadly, I think sometimes the broader culture and society around us has done a much better job of adapting and accepting different life paths than the church culture has done. Infertility, addiction, singleness, divorce, sexuality, race, these are just some of the things that we don't talk about in the church, or at least don't talk about very often or very well. But Jesus embraced the people on the fringes, the people who didn't fit social norms. And the church needs to learn to do this better. Did you want to say anything else at this point? Okay.
Can I give a note of affirmation?
Sure. Yeah, you want to come over here? Sure.
I want to give my affirmation to you as a couple, and you'll notice Ruthie has been wiping her tears. We've been blessed in many ways, but you know we wanted another child. And you know that Jonathan is 7 years behind the rest of the boys. And we prayed hard. We went through your experience. So I just want to give you encouragement. God will answer in time. We had our name in for adoption. And Ruth became pregnant. Now, I'm aware of the challenges in adoption. Marv has adopted 2 children at very young ages, and they are the greatest challenge in their lives as they've gone into teenage years. And God is capable, and we pray hard, but keep on praying, and I just want to affirm you as a couple, and I'm blessed by your experience.
Thanks for that word, John. Yeah, and thanks, Tim and Krista. It was a huge risk, and what a gift. Yeah, you articulated grief in such a beautiful way, in such a, I think a multifaceted way that was really, really powerful. And we can probably lodge into different comments from the different experiences that we've each had with loss and grief of ways that we could connect. And even John's statement and Krista's statement about this grief allows us to connect into other people's experiences in a way that we can't if we haven't had that experience. A cousin of mine lost her husband, and she told me that she always knows when she's talking to somebody who's walked through it and somebody who hasn't. Those are very different conversations. And so part of what we were saying last week is that grief and fear and sadness and worry, all these things, as we allow God into them and others, they don't diminish us, but they expand us. And you heard Tim and Krista talk about that, that it opens up for us and makes us into a person that has a wider expanse to love and care for and understand people in a way that, not because it's a fault, but in a way that doesn't happen if we haven't had those experiences. But we still all have the command to carry each other's burdens. And we're able to do that in different ways. Our personalities do that in different ways. Obviously, the depth of relationship defines how much we carry. We can't carry everybody's burden in the world. But we still have to sit with, God, what are you asking of me? And part of the reason that God formed this church, not Living Light, but his church in the world, and organized us into these communities, is so we could learn what this means. What does it actually mean? With who? And how do I carry each other's burdens? Because remember, that verse says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, fulfill the law of Christ. There's something very deep and core about who we are as followers of Jesus, that part of that call is to learn well how to carry each other's burdens. And there's a lot we could talk about carrying each other's burdens. And like everything else, there's ditches we can fall in on lots of different sides. We can take on other people's burdens in a way that drown us, and that's obviously unhealthy. Or we can try to dismiss people's burdens to get them over it quickly, so we can also get over it quickly, which is also obviously unhealthy. But there's two ways, just this morning, and then Tim and Krista are going to come and share a little bit about what it's meant for them to have other people, you know, carry their burden with them. One thing that can help us understand how to carry other people's burdens, again, is to listen to our own experience. And the more we're in tune with our own grief, our own fear, our own worry, our own loss, the more we're able to say, oh, yes, I can help carry that because of what I've also experienced. But we can also learn to carry each other's burdens by listening deeply to each other and saying, help me understand this experience, to ask good questions, to listen longer, and to listen reflectively on what people have experienced and what's helped them to feel like other people are carrying their burdens and what's not helped them to feel like people are carrying their burdens. Because sometimes we want to help with people's burdens, but our helping actually doesn't help. And we've probably all experienced that before. Where somebody wants to help us, but their helping doesn't help. That happens in a lot of different areas of life, and it happens in this idea of carrying each other's burdens too. That's not a fault or something we have to be ashamed of, but it is to say, I want to learn. What can I do? How can I be? What is the posture I can take that really helps me to carry someone else's burdens in ways that are appropriate and loving? So Tim and Chris are going to come back up and just share a little bit about what it's felt like for others to journey with them, when it's felt like they were supported, and maybe some things that have felt not so supportive, even though maybe people's hearts were good. Again, so we can learn together, this is how I can best walk with somebody. So, Tim and Krista, come on up.
So one thing we wanted to mention is the difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy has been really helpful for us, and for us that means listening well to us, just being with us, and entering into our experience and our pain. Whereas sympathy just feels like you're giving us your pity, you're feeling sorry for us, and that's not always as helpful.
And I think something I've learned about grief, and not just infertility, but in many areas of grief, is our culture usually has two responses to grief. One is sympathy, just, I gush with sorrow for you, and I'm so sorry you're going through this, but I don't know what else to do. And then secondly, it's probably followed by, we hate to not be fixers. We hate to not offer a solution. And I think we sometimes speak too much because we just can't even handle, I don't know what to do with your pain. We've experienced some of that. I would say a lesson I've heard before and I'm learning over and over again is, when walking with someone in grief, do not underestimate the power of simply being with them. Don't underestimate the ability, the gift that you have to simply be with someone, to not say anything, to not give a solution, not do anything. I'm struck by ancient Jewish practice in Jesus' time. When someone would die, the community would come to the family's house and would just be in the house for days and would just weep with the family. Wouldn't say anything, wouldn't do anything. Just be there and cry together. There is a time and a place to give feedback and to speak words and to process. But if you feel like, I don't have anything to offer, don't offer anything. Just be present. That's offering a lot.
Yeah, so we've really appreciated when people were present with us in what we're going through, when people ask us how we're doing or how we're experiencing this journey. People who send cards, notes, texts, calls, or pull us aside to check in. These things help us to feel seen and valued when often we feel left behind and alone. And pray for us and pray with us. Believe and have faith for us. It's been a heavy burden to carry at times, and sometimes we lose faith. But knowing that others are standing with us in this and believing with us encourages us to keep going and to keep carrying the faith.
Mm-hmm. But be sensitive in the way you approach that. We often like to joke with young people when they're getting married and when they're going to have kids. And I think we mean well, but it can hurt and it can reinforce that that expectation that there's basically one life path, and if you're not doing things in that order or in the timeline that other people are, maybe there's something wrong with you. Ignoring the topic is also not helpful. Yes, this is painful for us. It's our experience, though. This is our everyday life. And not having people be aware of it, and that's a little bit why we're sharing here. Like, we don't like bleeding in front of people, but this is our life, okay? And we're embracing that, and we invite your fellowship as we walk through this journey. And sometimes it's hard to know how to share this. We don't want to be a wet blanket on other people, but this is us, and our hope is that if there's other people that can share the burden with us, it becomes lighter.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we find helpful is when people invite us and include us to events, to family functions, whatever, and let us make the decision about whether we want to come or not. And I've heard the same from people who are single, that they would rather be included and invited at the risk of having them feel like a third wheel. Don't assume that it will be too painful for us to be at something or that we don't want to be the only ones without kids there.
Yeah. More. we love your kids, and we want to be a blessing to your families, and we're blessed being around your children. And yes, sometimes that's a reminder to us of the kids we don't have, but we would rather experience the joy and rejoice with you over their lives and their growing up than to not.
Another thing we would say is to count your blessings and be grateful. I understand that parenting is hard work, and sometimes you feel overwhelmed, and you may need to vent. So I say this with a lot of grace, but from our perspective, it can be frustrating and painful to hear families complaining about the piles of laundry or the dirty dishes or the house that's always a wreck. I would be happy to do 10 extra loads of laundry a week if it meant I had a child in my home.
And the response that, well, you can just come do my laundry, is not helpful.
Don't feel guilty for what you have and we don't. And don't envy what we have and you don't. Comparison is the thief of all joy. Don't keep your good news from us. We want to celebrate with you. On the trip that we went on a couple weeks ago, we were reading the Chronicles of Narnia together. And something that Aslan, who is the representation for God, often tells the characters is, I'm only telling you your story. Her story is not for you to know. And so we've had to embrace our story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we want you to be able to do the same and to embrace your story. I have a friend who has the gift of empathy and beautifully carries the burdens of others. And a memory I have that was just so helpful to me was when she was expecting, and she pulled me aside to tell me quietly. And even in her joy of expecting a baby, she was able to cry with me in my pain and acknowledge how hard it was for me. And in her being able to do that, I was also able, in my pain, to carry her joy with her. And that's what the body of Christ should be for each other. Do you want to say anything else?
And so our hope this morning is not that we have given you a to-do list or a to-don't list, or that we want to express, like, wow, the Martins, they're really sore, watch them. I hope we haven't done that. And I know right now we're talking about infertility, and this is a topic, but I think, hopefully you've heard, we are learning so much in this process about grief, and grief can be expanded across many different experiences. And so if there are things that you have heard here that can be applied in other situations of grief, I encourage you to use them. We're trying to do that. No, not everything is universal. Not everything fits in every scenario. But we have learned so much about just compassion and awareness of other people and extending kindness in the way that we have conversations and the way that we are considerate of others' situations in life. And how can we carry our brokenness and our fragility in a way that honors others' brokenness and fragility, but in a way that also says, hey, we see you, and we're going to be sensitive in how we ask these things, but we're also going to ask these things, because this is you, and you're valuable, and as much as we're able, we want to speak life to you. No, our experiences not directly cross over. Your experiences may not directly cross over to us, but I think if we can all learn to carry compassion and awareness for others more often, I think we'll find more unity and more connection in deeper ways. So thanks for hearing us and letting us share our story.
Wow. That's a real treasure. And yeah, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to their sharing again and again. There's so many things in there that I'm going to go back and listen again and again. I feel like so many things that they shared that were just really big things, important pieces that can help us understand how to walk with people and journey. And yeah, one of the things I heard them saying was just the mess of it all, in a sense, or the mixed emotions and perspectives that are so much a part of our lives. And there's nothing we can do to get out of that. We can't make it all clear and controlled. Right? It's not clear and controlled. It's a mix, and that's so much of what life is. And the more that we can accept that, the more that we can walk well through that. I loved your story of, you know, that verse that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sounds like such a simple verse, you know, but I mean, your story just brings in the depth and complexity of what that actually requires of us. The same with share each other's burdens. It seems like such a simple thing. Oh yeah, be nice to each other. But now it's like, wow, that there's so much depth in that one phrase of how do we actually do that well for each other. And I loved your invitation into your experience. And those two words of being seen and being valued. I feel like those are the postures that I hear you calling us to walk with people. Whether it's in our rejoicing or in our grief, to see people and to value them. If we get those two things right, then the other little parts of how it actually works out, we can find our way through. But if I set our hearts, whoever's in front of me, I want to see this person, know this person, value this person right where they are. I think that's the posture God invites us to as the body of Christ. So thank you, Tim and Krista, not only for sharing your experience, but for sharing your wisdom and how this experience has so formed you. So I'd like to end our time with a time of prayer for Tim and Krista. And maybe I would ask you guys to, do you guys mind just coming up here and sitting on the front? And Nathan, do you mind getting that cordless mic again? If anybody wants to come up and, are you guys okay if we lay hands? If you want to come up and lay hands on them, you can do that. I'll have the cordless mic that we can pass around to pray so everybody can hear. And I would just encourage you to have that picture in your minds that as we pray for them, we are carrying them before the throne of God. And what would you invite God to pour out on them as we carry them to the throne of God? So we'll take some time to pray and then finish that way. So if you'd like to come up, you can stay in your seats if you want to, or if you want to come up and lay your hands on Tim and Krista, we'll just take some time to pray. But I encourage, whether it's from your seats or whether you come up, just really engage your hearts as we, as a body, you know, that story of those people letting the paralytic down before Jesus. And as we pray in this way, whenever we gather around people like this, it's like, maybe it's down. We usually think of Jesus as up, but we're bringing them, bringing our friends, and asking the life of God to encounter them in fresh ways. So let's carry that together as we end here. So if you want to come up, come on up. I'm going to grab the cordless mic, and then we'll just spend some time praying. So let's engage our hearts here. And if you want to pray, just kind of wave at me or something, and just so everybody can hear, and even on Zoom. But I'll just open us up. Just acknowledge your presence here, God, in each of us, and as we come together in an even greater way. Just so grateful for the gift of this morning, for the gift of Tim and Krista, and the journey that they were able to give to us this morning. And so we lift them to you, Lord.
Lord, I give you thanks so much for the gift you've given to us in Tim and Krista. We thank you for their commitment to you. We thank you for the love that you shed on them. And we recognize the difficulty of time that happens, whether a pregnancy develops or not, your blessing is still present. And we lift them up to you with peace and joy and much blessing in their lives. We thank you.
Yes, Father, we do thank you for their willingness to step out and take that risk and be vulnerable, just even for the example and lesson for all of us. I just felt like when they were sharing, the words like open heaven came to my mind. I just want to pray into that. Father, you would continue to pour out open heaven blessings upon them. And when things have been hard and difficult, and now to have many more be aware and know, I just look forward, Lord, to the anticipation of announcing a pregnancy and the joy that and praise that will come forth from you in that. So, Father, we just thank you for hearing their hearts and their cries and now hearing ours along with them. Father, you designed family and the beauty of the family, and they want to share that and extend that, and you know they would carry that well. So we just ask for that in Jesus' name.
God, we give you thanks for Tim and Krista. And just in our biological family, we thank you for the gift that they are. Just the way that they have poured blessings out on our family, on each individual. And God, I also just see laughter in their future. So I just pray that you would pour out laughter upon them. In Jesus' name.
Father, I also just want to pray a peace upon their minds and hearts, even when they look at the natural and ages and biological things and all that. But nothing is impossible for you, God, and your word has testified to that in miraculous ways. Step out on the risk here, too. Open heaven, open womb.
God, thank you for Tim and Krista and the blessing that they are to us and sharing their journey. Please continue to bless them and be with them in their journey.
And Jesus, I love the picture of the friends that lowered the paralytic before you. And we just pray that as we put them in front of you, that you would just encounter them in a very real way. That they would be able to see your face. They would have clear direction. They would be overwhelmed with your ability to see them and to call them and to do beautiful things in them. We do ask for a miracle, that they would be able to bear a child. But we also know that your love just needs, as it pours over them, they would have a very real feel of purpose, feel of your calling over them and your ability to see into their future and bless them with what you desire and design for their lives.
We just thank you, Lord, that you are good, that your love endures forever. And we just proclaim that over Tim and Krista.
Thank you that that you have put the ache in their hearts, God. Because you have aches in your heart too, God. And I get to share that experience with you these months. And I just thank you, Lord, so much for the grace that you've given them to carry this ache so well. They have not cut themselves off from you or others. That they have not allowed this to define them or harden their hearts to life and to others. But they have carried an ache into celebrations and been able to celebrate. They've carried an ache into isolation and been able to meet with you, Lord. They've been able to enter into the fullness of their lives, even carrying this ache, Lord. And we just thank you. What a gift. And we just bless that, God. We bless that ability to continue to walk these days with this ache and to continue to experience the fullness of life and the fullness of who you are with them. We just proclaim the love and delight of God over you guys. I know you know, but just say that this is not your fault. But we believe, like every broken thing, God just looks at it as a way to show himself in the world. But we do declare it a broken thing, and we ask you, God, that you would pour out your spirit, God, and release what is good. Release what is whole. And may the desire, the love that you have put in them find the outlet. May you bring forth children that they can only now see in their hearts, God. May you bring it forth into reality. You've been doing this for a long time, God. So we bless them with that today. And as we've received this gift as a community, God, we also pray that in this gift and in others, God, would you teach us the deep depths of what it means to share and carry each other's burdens, Lord. With Tim and Krista and with each other and all the other pieces of our lives, God. We want to be a people that say yes to that command and that give ourselves to it to learn and to grow continually. Today, how can I better share another's burdens? Carry them. Thank you for even how Tim and Krista have done that with so many of us and so many others. Strengthen us, God, to share that gift with them as we walk on from this place. Thank you, Lord. So we just bless them today in Jesus' name to walk in the fullness of your life and spirit, to have every good thing over them, to be filled with joy and peace, even in the midst of the loss and grief, to walk in love, to be loved, to experience all of your goodness today. We just cover them in the blood of Jesus as they've opened their hearts and minds so deeply to us that only the life of God would fill them and cover them, lead them and follow them everywhere they go. And that we would be vessels of that to them these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.